Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. You're listening to this episode because it's coming out midweek. This is one of our special bonus episodes of the Pub Trivia Experience. In this episode, we kind of have a twofer. The first part of this episode is an interview we did with the owners of the Antelope Brew. That is the restaurant that last week's episode was recorded at. We did a nice interview with them. Let you get kind of a background of who they are, how they got into the restaurant business. Really just genuinely good people. The episode itself, if you haven't listened to it, it's freaking hilarious. It's a really good time. That episode came out last week, earlier this week on Sunday, so go find it. This episode is going to be that interview, and then stay tuned after that interview. I'm here with my buddy Mike.
Hey, hey.
And Mike and I are going to do the five favorite films that we did with Steven, but this time we're going to do it with Mike. And of course, we are having a beer or two, and we're going to have a good old time. So hang out with us. We'll be right back after this interview. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. This is a special midweek episode. It is not a trivia episode, but we are here at one of our favorite new spots. This is Antelope Brew Tap House, located up in Tarpon Springs, Florida, down on the legendary and beautiful Sponge Docks. If you have not been down here and you're in the Tampa area, get your ass down here. It is beautiful. It is a nice Saturday morning, so I will say drinking on a Saturday morning is a little bit weird, but we're here with the owners and the manager of this awesome brewery. And if you can hear behind me, you're going to hear a lot of the commotion that's going on. But I do want to go ahead and just recognize them and let them talk through their history, what brought them here, how they get here, and what makes this particular tap house different from the others that have popped up in the last 10 years. So let's go ahead. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. You know me, obviously. I'm Chris. We'll pass it on over to Jeff.
Hi, guys. I'm Jeff.
I'm Tara.
And Tara, what do you do here? Tara is the manager.
I'm Kelly, one of the owners.
We've got one of the owners, Kelly, and we've got the man, the myth, the legend.
Bill.
Bill is here as well. So talk me through this. You guys have owned this bar for how long now?
1 year, 2 days.
Wow. Oh, wow. 1 year anniversary. Yeah. I'll raise a glass to that.
Woo.
Now, I grew up in the area. I'm from the area. What made you want to open this location here? What was the driving force behind this?
An oddball day off from work, our normal jobs.
Oh, you got to explain that.
Okay, the story goes basically, the wife wanted to take a Monday off, and I'm always against Mondays off. I'd rather have a Friday off.
Okay.
But my boss went ahead and said, take the day off. So that became that, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
We had no idea.
No. She had some jewelry she needed to be repaired across the market here. So she says, well, why don't we go there? I'll get my jewelry fixed. You get some cigars, and we'll see what's up. Hadn't been to the Sponge Docks probably in about 6 months to a year. It'd been a while.
Okay.
So we got the jewelry fixed. We walked out, saw this particular bar, Antelope Brew, was sitting over here. They were open. She's like, you want to have a beer? And
it felt naughty because it was the middle of the day, in the middle of the week.
Yeah, it was equivalent to saying, let's have sex in the middle of the day from my wife. I mean, I was like, really? I can have a beer at 11 a.m.? It's okay? So we came in. We sat down. We were the only ones here at that particular time because they had just opened. We started talking. Didn't realize we were talking to one of the owners at the time. And they told us the place was for sale. We called a couple friends to see if maybe they might be interested in going collaborating with us, which they weren't, which is all right. And they thought we were joking. And then all of a sudden, a month later, here we are signing paperwork to buy a bar.
That's awesome.
Yeah, never intended to buy a bar. Never intended to buy more than 5 cigars that day.
Never take a day off on a Monday.
But we walked in the front doors, and we just fell in love with the look and the design of the place and just saw all the potential that it had.
This place is beautiful. You guys have done a phenomenal job with it. It's absolutely beautiful. The outside patio is amazing. I can't wait to get in here and start hosting actual trivia here because it's gonna be great. But that indoor area, it's a small little area, but what you've done in there is amazing.
Yeah, it's got a unique look.
It's unique, but it's it's literally beautiful. Like it looks like a piece of art walking through those front doors.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing in there.
Thank you.
All the little details are what really make it stand out.
The longer you stay, the more you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every time I walk by here, I have to always do a double take. Even now, looking over my corner, I see a mannequin.
That's Joey.
Joey.
She's become
an iconic figure in the area.
Don't tell her she's a mannequin. She'll get very upset with you.
My bad, Joey. But the attention to detail in this place is amazing. So, obviously, you guys are into craft beer. I can tell that.
Nice.
People after my own heart. Talk to me about your beer selection.
We try to keep it fresh. I like seeing different things. You drink a certain beer, and sure, everyone loves, let's say, like the Peanut Butter Blonde from House of Beer. Everyone loves that beer. But you sort of want to change up your taste every now and then. I like seeing beers up there from, you know, Iceland sometimes, maybe Italy, anywhere else, Australia, and stuff like that, to mix it up. But we also want to pay homage to the local breweries here. It was what makes, the Tarpon Springs area great, as far as even, Palm Harbor, Dunedin, and all them. You know, keep it local, but you also want to branch out and, explore your taste buds a little bit.
I can't agree more. I've been saying this for over a year on the podcast, but the Tampa brew scene is amazing.
Oh, yes. It's just blown up.
Which, I've been to a lot of other areas. I'll be in Lexington here in about a week. But I've been there before. Nothing. It's very hard to find anything that matches what's happening in the Tampa Bay area from a beer scene. The craft beer scene down here is just exploding. And you have one of my favorite breweries in there, Marker 48. Marker 48, which is up in Brooksville. Like, it's not even near here. They're really good. How'd you get involved with them?
That woman there. Kelly.
It's one of my favorites.
Kelly, tell me a story then.
Let me start over. When we first opened this, I was not really a beer drinker besides the lagers. Right. And Bill has always liked the heavier beers. And anytime I would try one of his, I really didn't like it much. But
okay.
Working here and having this, I have the ability to try all of them.
Which you do, right?
Which I do.
You better.
I do, yes. And I have found, actually, that my taste has broadened. And
okay.
I like the darker beers now. And the Marker 48 that we have right now is Mermaid's Milk.
I love the Mermaid's Milk.
Which I think was the first, besides Guinness, was the first mm-hmm. true stout you had tried. And she just fell in love with it.
I did. I fell in love. And I said, I'm so glad we bought this place.
There's the reason.
It took buying a bar to find my wife's favorite beer.
It's true, right. So now I tend to lean toward those darker beers, which was a big surprise to Bill.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, there's food here as well?
Yes.
So talk to me about your menu. What do you have?
Cubans, several different types of gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches, turkey apple cheddar, soft pretzels and beer cheese. It's pubish food for sure. You're not going to come in.
That's
we
awesome.
Don't do hamburgers and fries and things like that. But we do change little things on the menu every now and then and try to get a little extra going.
Fresh ceviche.
Oh, yes. On the weekends, we have fresh ceviche. It's very good.
Yeah.
And we also started something new recently is Anclote nachos.
I love nachos.
Pulled pork nachos. Amazing. It's enough to share.
Yes, it's a very heavy meal.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome. I got to say this. So how many bars do you walk into, and it's like, you get the pub burger. The pub burger is like the thing most prominently featured on their menu. If I walk into one more damn bar and I have to buy a burger, I'm going to be a little pissed. I'm not sure if you could hear it, but you could actually hear my ice. The drinking's kicked in. You could hear my wife's eyes widen through the microphone when you said craft grilled cheese.
Yeah, when you said grilled cheese, I was like, oh, I'm in.
What goes better with beer than cheese?
Right. I mean, bacon.
Yeah.
Well, we have bacon,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do.
So you guys have been open for a year. This is your one-year anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Talk to me about the area. So I'm from here. I'm very familiar with Tarpon Springs. But what is it about this area that makes it special to you?
This is such an eclectic group of people down here. I mean, it is fed by the Greek culture, which is amazing. And the tourists that come through are from all over the world. The Sponge Docks are world famous.
Disney World.
Right. People come from all over the world. We get to meet so many great people, and they come back year after year. So people who have been here over the years are still coming, even though the ownership has changed.
I mean, I love this area. I come down here four or five times a year, and usually it's just to buy her soap. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the people down here are absolutely amazing. We've got people walking by as we're doing the interview. But, yeah, it's absolutely insane how beautiful this place is. If you have not been down here, the palm trees, the sponges, the old-school boats right across the harbor, and you guys are right on the main strip, too. Yep. You're right on the drag.
And the sunsets down here are amazing.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we're located within the, they call this little plaza here, the Sponge Exchange.
Okay.
Which is basically, I think there's, what is it, 38, 32 shops?
Several shops in here, all different varieties of things.
Yeah.
Do I see a CBD dispensary right back
there,
too? Yes, you
do.
Yes.
That's been there just a few months now. Yeah. It's doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that hopefully they go there, they get what they need, and they just walk right by this.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, everyone, this has been a special episode. This will be released midweek along with some other trivia that will be attached to this episode. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pub Trivia Experience. If you have not done so already, right before this episode, the Sunday before, is our episode that we're recording live right here at Anclo. Go give that a listen. And if you're in the Tampa area and you're not down here, you have not been to Tarpon Springs, you have not been to Anclo Brew, get your ass down here. It's amazing. It really is. And I can say this, and Jeff can back me up. We're not getting paid to say any of this. There's no sponsorship here. We're not getting any money. We just genuinely like not only the bar, but the people that own it. They're good people.
Well, thank you. It's great to meet you guys.
We're going to go ahead. We're going to play some trivia. We'll talk to everyone soon. Bye.
In the middle of the day from my wife. I mean, I was like, really? I can have a beer at 11 a.m.? It's okay.
And we are back. So I am very fortunate to be joined by my buddy Mike Mott right now. And before we get to Mike, let's go ahead and let's hear about some beer.
Yeah, always do the beers first.
Always get the beer done first. What do you got, Mike?
I've got my Lazy Magnolia Southern Pecan Brown Ale.
Ooh.
Because it's really good and I was in the mood for it, and I saw it at Publix, and I was like, I'm going to pick up a six-pack of that, and now I'm drinking it. It's a brewery out of Mississippi, of course. Take from that what you will, but it's actually a really, really good beer.
What brewery is that in Mississippi?
It's called Lazy Magnolia.
Oh, Lazy Magnolia. Okay.
Yeah, Mississippi's oldest brewery. It's the only beer from them I think I've ever had, but really, really good, if you like brown ales in particular.
I'm a big brown ale guy. Like, you know me pretty well. I like brown ales.
You would really like this, Chris. I don't know if you've ever had it, but you'd really like it.
I've never had it. I'm actually drinking. So a couple weeks ago, we did a show. I believe it was the back to school episode, and Jeff was talking about a beer he was having from Clown Shoes Brewing. So I grabbed another beer from Clown Shoes Brewing, and I went with something a little bit lighter. It's been, I would say, uncharacteristically hot, but it's just been hot in Florida, so I want something light. This is the Clown Shoes Lil Crispy Crisp Ale. And it really does live up to that expectation. It's a little bit of flavor. Just it's real light. It's a good drinking beer. And they give you a nice 16-ounce can. None of that 12-ounce crap. A nice 16-ounce can to drink with. I'm looking forward to this. Let's give it a try. Yeah, just as I remember it. A good sipping beer. It's a good outside all day, come back in, have a beer is exactly what it is.
It's a light beer, but you don't have to actually say you're drinking a light beer.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not Bud Light. It's better than Bud Light.
You get to maintain your street cred.
Well, oh my Lord. Okay, so I got to tell you this story before we get into your five favorite movies.
Oh God.
So I went to Kentucky with Jake and a couple of his friends, right?
Yep.
So we go to Kentucky, and I spent a good amount of money on bourbon. I came back with five bottles.
Like you do.
But we were out on Friday night. We wanted to get some dinner. It was a late dinner. The only place we really could get in on Friday night in Lexington was Buffalo Wild Wings, and there was no one there. Huh. But they didn't have craft beer on tap. All they had were the main things. And like, well, we do have 250 pitchers of Bud Light. And
that doesn't sound like a thing that ends well.
Like you do, I kind of had three.
Yeah, pitchers.
Well, they're personal pitchers. They're little pitchers. It's like a 20-ounce drink.
I mean, I've seen you drink before, so if you had told me three full pitchers, I still wouldn't necessarily doubt it.
I am not that big of a lush, man. Come on.
I know.
But the worst part is, like, we've told you that story about when me, I think you were there. We went to Brass Tap with Jake and Adam tipped the waitress $20 to serve Jake nothing but Bud Light.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I remember that.
Okay. So Jake got his revenge. He took a picture of me drinking my Bud Light and sent it to Adam. So I've lost my street cred there. Jake, you're a jerk. My gosh, man. Come on. You're killing me.
No, that was well played. The only downside is, okay, so let's see. Adam did it to Jake. Jake did it to you. That means you have to do it to Adam.
I'd have to see Adam do it to Adam. He won't even dial into the damn podcast.
Well, you know.
We'll work on it.
He's got a lot going on.
He does. I give him crap, but I love him.
Oh, of course.
So, Mike, I dropped this bomb on you this morning that we're going to be doing your five favorite movies, and I know that that threw you for a little bit of a tailspin. Have you narrowed down your list?
I have, yeah. You know, it's funny because many, many years ago, I had a list because it was just, you know, kind of one of those things you keep in your back pocket.
Yep.
You know, so that if it ever comes up, you can say it. And I've kind of forgot some of the list. I remembered most of it, and I forgot. But so I remembered the top. I remembered three of the movies, and they actually ended up staying on my top five. This is the really funny thing. After all is said and done, I labored and labored over this and thought long and hard, and I still, the three movies that I remembered being on, well, I remembered four movies. I couldn't remember the fifth one, but I remembered four of the movies that were on my top five back then. This is probably like 10 years ago. And three of them ended up remaining on my top five because I couldn't get rid of them. But then I kind of picked two new movies that I, not new movies, but I decided that these belonged on my top five. But I thought about this probably longer than I'd like to admit.
While you're at work.
and there were so many things that I was just like, oh, I can't believe I'm leaving this off. I mean, you know, like some serious all-time movies for me, but I'm just like, eh, this one has the edge over you just that little bit.
So let's run through these real quick then. What are those that almost made the list but didn't? We're not going to spend too much time talking about them, but
yep.
Give me some examples.
So I didn't remember one of the other ones that I remembered that was always on my top five back in the day that I just couldn't quite make the cut. And a large part of that reason was I've only seen it. I love this movie, but I've only seen it probably three times. And I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it in 10 years, but is the Charlie Chaplin classic City Lights, which is just an amazing movie. Especially for being in the silent era. It's like one of the last movies of the silent era. And I really wanted to be able to include a silent film because I love that era of movies, but I couldn't quite make the cut. Others were things like, you know, Ghostbusters, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
I think it still holds up because the way that they did the effects in the context of the movie, I think it still works for the most part. I mean, you can still see some of the stuff, but I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. The Usual Suspects was one of my favorites for forever. I must have watched that movie 20 times just in the year 1997, whenever that came out, 96, 97. I loved that movie, but again, it was just one of those.
That didn't even cross my mind.
Like, that was teenage me's movie more than it is my movie now.
Like, that didn't even cross my mind, to be honest with you. The Usual Suspects would not have, that wasn't anywhere near the top of my mind when I was making my list.
Well, so one of the reasons that Usual Suspects was on there was just because, and I have a movie on there that fits this category, but I was trying to think of, okay, what are those movies? And I think we all have those movies that just kind of open your mind as to the possibilities of what a movie can be. Like, most people I think have that love movies have that kind of moment. For me, it was my middle to late teenage years when I was watching movies nonstop and just kind of completely opened up my world. And that was one of those movies because it was one of the first movies I saw that it really just had that amazing twist that just ripped the rug out from underneath you.
That movie epitomizes what that twist ending can be, right? It's
yeah.
So perfectly done and so deftly done. I loved it.
Exactly. And it was also back in the day before they did the stupid thing where they advertise, this movie has a twist you won't see coming. And you're like, well, now I'm going to see it coming because I'm going to be looking for the damn twist.
Yeah.
It was kind of like how Shyamalan could never pull another twist off like Sixth Sense because you're already looking for it.
You were.
I mean, I, I suppose that the post trailer part of or post credits part of the split definitely nobody saw coming, but
yeah, but I wouldn't count that really a twist, right?
It's not really a twist, but it was definitely different. Anyway,
I go back to Shyamalan, and that's one of those directors that's just like, you were so high for so long.
I know.
Like three really good movies. Some people don't like Signs. I love Signs.
I love Signs. I think Signs is incredibly well done.
But
you can nitpick the water thing and all. You can nitpick its death, but you know, in the moment in that movie, it's both hilarious and scary in the exact right and poignant in the exact right ways.
It's
to me
the ending of that movie, that entire third act, is just to me really poetic. It really brings back everything the first two acts are trying to teach you. I loved it. I
agree. Yeah, it's so well structured.
The water part is, yeah, I get it. Some people don't like it, but even, was it War of the Worlds?
Yeah, War of the Worlds, where they get killed by bacteria.
Yeah. So I get it, but there's precedent for it to happen.
No, exactly. So I don't want to nitpick that. But that's a movie that didn't even occur to me, but I love that movie. That's a really great movie.
So those are outside your top five. Are yours in any order, or does it matter?
Doesn't really matter. I did save what I commonly refer to as my number one movie for last on my list, but okay. I can go through them in any order. So.
Yeah, let's do one by one. Let's talk about them.
All right. Well, the first movie on my list is Field of Dreams.
Ooh. Okay.
This is one of those movies. It's just to me, it's got so many things going for it. First of all, it's got the baseball thing, which I love baseball movies in general. I love the game of baseball. And it's got the, it's got that fantastical element to it.
It's got spectacle. It really does.
Exactly. It's got that sort of like that sense that you always want to have, that there's like this underlying magic to, you know, to things, and which kind of coincides with the magic of the game of baseball in a way. Like the way it kind of ties those two together. And obviously I think just the, I think it's one of those movies, you know, you always talk about, okay, what movies are okay for men to cry at? I feel absolutely no shame sobbing like a baby at the end of that movie. Like, it's just, it's got that thing of, you know, you always want it. When you lose a parent, there's always things that are left unsaid that you wish you could, you know, go back and say. And the idea of, you know, being able to have that one last catch with your father, I think that, and in a way, I sort of think that just captures maybe, I don't even know if times are even like that anymore, but I hope they are. I don't know, but.
I hope they are too, and not to throw too much of your personal life out there, but I can just imagine that having a significant impact on you.
Right. I mean, I think it's one of those movies that, and actually, this is true of a couple of movies on my list, which we'll get to. But I think it's one of those movies you see it in a different way, as you know, the more you watch it, and as you get older.
I need to go back and revisit it. I don't think I have a sports movie on my top five, but
yeah, that was the other reason I kind of decided I felt like that needed to crack the top five, because I needed a sports movie.
I get it. Okay, so Field of Dreams, I'm right behind you on that. I get it. What's number four, or what's the next one on the list?
Let's see. What did I have as number four? Oh gosh, I should have actually pulled up my list. I'm like, I'll remember it. Now I'm drawing a blank. Again, these aren't in any order. So, son of a bitch. All right, let me pull up my list real quick. I wrote it down. It's because I. Oh, that was number four. I was thinking that was number three, but it was number four. So okay, I will go ahead and do that one. Pulp Fiction.
Oh yes,
is my number four, and that is the movie that I was alluding to. That it was when I saw that, it completely blew my mind as to, I didn't think movies could be like this. You know, I know it's a lot of movies do this. It wasn't the first. It certainly hasn't been the last. But for me, it was it was new about the way that the chronology's twisted and the way mm-hmm. the the themes kind of built upon each other. And for my money, that final scene in the diner. I don't know. I don't know how spoiler light.
The movie came out in 1996. I think you can spoil it.
It came out in 1994.
94, my God. Yeah, it was, because 95, it was up for Best Picture.
Or got beat by Forrest Gump for the Oscar. Yeah. But yeah, and that, I just think that final scene in the diner when he, you know, when he does that whole thing about, he comes back to the Bible verse and the first time he says it, you're like, man, this is a sick motherfucker. And then like the second time he says it, he starts talking about like what it really means. And I was actually a little disappointed but also a little amazed when I found out that that Tarantino actually just made that up, made the verse up.
Oh, really?
Well, he made up half of it. The part about the path of the righteous man was made up by him. Ezekiel 25:17 is only the part where it says, and I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger, and you will know I'm the Lord. That's Ezekiel 25:17. The rest of it was written by Tarantino. And in a way, it kind of makes sense because it's the first part, the part that Tarantino just made up, that actually fits the larger themes of the movie and of Samuel Jackson's character's transformation. But yeah, I mean, I think there's been a lot said about Pulp Fiction much more eloquently than I can say it. But for me, that's just one of those movies. I feel like I continually rewatch it. I can catch new things, you know, and it's just it's hilarious. It's, you know, riveting, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat sometimes. And it's like violent, but in a cool way. And it has that like poignancy when it's just like, you know, you're the weak and I'm the tyranny of evil men, but I'm trying to be the shepherd, like fighting against your nature to try and be a better person. I just think it's so phenomenally well done. It's full of energy and life. And it's just the kind of movie that you almost don't, you're not sure could even get made anymore today, at least not backed by a studio for a major release.
Yeah, it would not get made today.
Yeah.
Unless Tarantino was doing it.
Right, exactly. It's like they still give respect to the daring filmmakers back then, but they don't go out really and try and find the new daring filmmakers. Although actually I will say there's a little side note, but you probably can guess what I'm going to say, but one of the studios that's actually very good at doing that is Marvel.
Yep.
They go out and find the directors that are kind of cool and visionary, that operating a little bit in the independent world, and they say, "Well, you want to try your hand at this?"
And they've done it real deftly. They've done, with the exception of the Edgar Wright, but even that movie ended up being phenomenal, was Ant-Man.
True.
They've done a really good job of that. Feige gets a lot of credit for it. I'll say this, yep, though, the thing, and I don't think I have a Tarantino movie on my list now that I think about it. And if there was one, it actually would not be Pulp Fiction for me.
What would you do, Reservoir Dogs?
It'd be Reservoir Dogs or Inglourious Bastards. I love Inglourious Bastards.
I mean, I love Reservoir Dogs too, but I think Inglourious Bastards is probably, even in terms of just a pure, on a cinematic level, is probably Tarantino's best film. I just haven't really, I've only seen it twice, so I haven't seen it enough for it to have really sunk in, but I do think that's a phenomenal film too.
But the one thing I love about Tarantino, and I everyone talks about this, I'm not saying anything new here, and he's not the only director that's ever done this, only writer that's ever done this, but the amount of the script that he writes that has nothing to do with the damn plot of the movie just makes it so much better.
Right, exactly.
The entire, what was the Grindhouse movie he did? Was it Death Proof?
Yeah, Death Proof, right.
The entire bar scene where the camera's just going around the table and they're not talking about anything.
Yep.
That is one of my favorite movie moments, just because it's one, the fact that he can plan out his shots that far ahead, that he could have a camera going around a table and he can time it and make it work so that every individual character is talking at the exact right time. Like, from a framing standpoint, I would not want to be the stand-in on that set. I would go crazy.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But he's just so freaking visionary. And it's not just, it's weird from a guy that likes to shoot on film and does such throwbacks to, you know, 60s and 70s films, that he has the really fundamentally changed the way a lot of, at least from a writing standpoint, a lot of writing is done now.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. I haven't done my list yet, thank God, because it's going to change now. But it wouldn't be Pulp Fiction for me. It would be Inglourious Bastards. It would be Reservoir Dogs. I love Reservoir Dogs. I love that movie so much. No, I think
Reservoir Dogs is great too.
You're going to bark all day, little doggy. All right. So we've got Field of Dreams. We've got Pulp Fiction. What's your next one?
This is probably my most left field choice on my list, because I don't know if this really pops up on a lot of people's top five, but I wrote down a whole bunch of movies, and I think this movie is gloriously underrated, and I think that, and for for me personally, with my family and stuff like that, this is a movie we come back to time and time again. And I've probably seen it a ton of times and I laugh every single time. But My Cousin Vinny.
That's our first crossover right there. I love that movie.
That movie, it's so well constructed in the way that things come back and little lines turn out to mean a lot more. Mm-hmm. In terms of the overall, you know, how they manage to solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious. Like I said, I've seen that movie 20 times at least, and I still laugh every single time.
Two years ago
when it was the night before we were scheduled to evacuate from Hurricane Irma. We ended up staying actually at my office building because they had opened it up to anybody who didn't want to leave the area because it's on high ground. And that was the movie. We were like, we just need a movie to kind of, we've been sitting here staring at the Weather Channel and all this kind of crap. We need a movie that we can just sit down and enjoy. And mm-hmm. we put on My Cousin Vinny. And it's still hilarious. And the other funny thing about that I think is so great about that movie. And it was one of those things that I actually read online, so I cannot claim this was at all an original thought or observation. But one of the things that makes that movie so great is, other than the random guy who's trying to stiff him on the money that she wins yeah. Playing pool, there is no bad guy in that movie.
How do I know that's not a bunch of ones with a 20 wrapped around it?
Right, exactly.
Sorry. I love that movie.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, outside of that guy, there is no evil person. There's nobody bad. The opposing lawyer,
no.
He's trying to do his job. He thinks he's got the right people. The moment he's presented with evidence that, you know, proves otherwise, he dismisses the case. Oh, by the way, we could use a lot more of that in the real world.
Hollywood setting unrealistic expectations again.
I know, right? The judge, I mean, he's just trying to uphold what he perceives as a standard for his courtroom. He's not, you know, he's not out to get anybody or anything. You know, it's. I just think it's such a, it's just a joyful movie to watch. You can't watch that movie and not have fun and enjoy and kind of pump your fist and get a little excited. You know, when they finally figure out how everything's going and stuff like that.
Yep.
Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei knock it out of the park.
Oh, their chemistry is amazing.
She totally deserved her Oscar. You know, don't give me this Jack Palance read the wrong name bullshit.
No, she
totally
earned that Oscar.
That Oscar.
She definitely did.
Oh my God, I can still. All I have to do to get my sister to laugh anytime is just go, imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water, and bam, a fucking bullet rips off part of your head. I just die at that every time. That movie's just fantastic.
That movie for me is endlessly quotable just because, like, I will walk around, I'll literally, whenever I'm ordering or eating grits, it's, how do you like your grits? Regular, creamy, or al dente?
Exactly. We say that all the time. And I mean, you know, living in the South and stuff like that. Obviously, I guess now we live in Alabama, which is where the where the movie takes place. I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, no, that movie to me, you know, I tried to think, I was like, I need to conclude a really good, you know, just straight comedy. And that's the movie I just laugh at every time.
So that's one spoiler. So you and Steve have each uncovered one of my top five. I'm wondering if we're going to get to the point where my top five is out there before.
I'm genuinely surprised that's in here. I'm pleasantly surprised, but I actually thought that would be a real curveball.
Not for me. I love that movie. It's also one of the movies that I really bonded with my dad over. My dad does not watch a lot of movies.
That'll do it. That to me, that was the first, it's kind of weird, I guess, but like when that movie came out, it wasn't like we watched a whole lot of, every movie we watched together as a family was a kid's movie. And that was, I'm pretty sure, the first R-rated movie we all sat down and watched as a family, because it's got some swearing, but otherwise it's really a pretty clean movie.
And it sets, like you said, like it's, there's not a bad guy in the movie. The one Southern guy notwithstanding. When you fall, you fall in your house or somebody else's? My house.
Shit.
And I'm done with this guy.
Yep.
All right. Man. My Cousin Vinny, Pulp Fiction and Field of Dreams. I got to hear what the rest of this list is, man. Let's keep going.
Yep, yep. So I did want to drift out and get at least, because I love, you wouldn't necessarily know it listening to my top five, but I actually really love, you know, more classic, older Hollywood films as well. I really wanted to get a lot more in here, but again, at the end of the day, it was just, I had to admit that it was more the more recent movies in general that stuck with me. But so the classic movie that I have on my list, though, I did get one. It's not super old, but it's 1967, I believe, is The Graduate.
Oh, yes.
I just think this movie is, you know, when I first saw it, I was in high school. I was actually pretty close to graduating. I watched it. I think I mentioned this before. Actually, I was sophomore year, so I wasn't that close to graduating. But I think I mentioned before that I got involved in a cinema club when I was in high school. I think I mentioned that on the Back to School episode. And we watched a ton of movies in there. And one of the movies we watched in there was The Graduate. And I connected with. It's funny because at the time I connected with, you know, Benjamin's sense of alienation and isolation and all that kind of stuff, and not really sure where he wanted to go with his life and all that kind of thing, you know. And it was also just really, really funny in a different way, like kind of like quirky funny and just bizarre funny and, you know, awkward funny. There's so many times, because he's so awkward sometimes, and there's he so is. Many times when he's funny. Like, I love the scene when, like, he's trying to meet Mrs. Robinson at the hotel, and he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. it's so funny. And but the other thing that, and I remember I saw it then, and then I watched it again right before I graduated high school. You know, obviously he's a college, you know, graduate, but in the movie, but it, you know, kind of the same thing. Okay, well, now you got it. Now you actually have to make decisions on what you're going to do with your life and all that kind of stuff. I think it's, I love the music in that movie. Obviously, the Simon and Garfunkel music is just fantastic. I think it's a beautifully shot movie. And the other thing with that movie that I always find that I have found interesting more recently and the more I've thought about it, when I first saw that, I did not like Mrs. Robinson. I thought she was a bad person. And the more I think about it,
oh, that sheds a little bit of light in your moral compass as a young kid or younger person.
Well, yeah, I mean,
wow, okay. Because I saw that movie when I was like 19, 20, and I didn't think she was a bad person. Tell me more about that. Now I'm curious.
No, I mean, I just thought, you know, at the time, it's, you know, obviously, oh my gosh, there's the basic thing of A, you know, A, you're cheating on your husband. B, you're, you know, seducing a younger man. See, you're trying to prevent your daughter from being happy and all this kind of stuff. That was the way I perceived it at that time. Now I realize I was told completely wrong, and Mrs. Robinson is actually an incredibly sympathetic character. She's, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with a moral compass. I think it had to do with more of a naivete or a, just a lack of understanding of the depth of that character, I guess, or something. But okay. if that makes sense. But
it does.
You know, because now I'm like, okay, yeah, she's in a loveless marriage. She doesn't, you know, she knows what she wants and she goes after it. She doesn't want her daughter to make the same mistake she did. So naturally, she's trying to stand in between, you know.
Yeah.
and it all made a lot more sense to adult Mike than it did to high school sophomore Mike.
So how many times have you seen it, though? That sounds like one you've gone back and watched more than a handful of times.
Probably half a dozen times. I wouldn't say I've seen it a ton, but it's definitely one of those I revisit every couple of years. But it's one that's always stuck with me, and I always love that ending shot. I'm glad that he shot the ending the way they did, because the story behind the ending shot is if you watch the ending shot, if you're familiar with the movie or whatever, they've just gotten on the bus, they've had their grand act of rebellion, and they're going to run off together and live happily ever after. And then the song Sound of Silence keeps playing, and then you just watch their faces kind of slowly fade. And the way I always perceived it is like the reality of what they're doing and how actually stupid they are kind of is slowly dawning. But the way it was actually shot is Mike Nichols just didn't tell him when he was going to cut the camera, when he was going to cut.
Hmm.
So they were like, they were getting uncomfortable. Like, when are you going to call cut? Supposedly that's the story of how he got that shot. But I think that's one of the great final shots. But yeah,
I need to go back and watch it. I'll truth be told, I haven't seen that movie in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I probably need to go back and see it again. It's definitely been several years for me. But there was definitely a period of time when I watched it probably once a year, once every 2 years. It was one of those I definitely kept coming back to. It's one that's always stuck with me. I think it was one I saw at the right moment in my life, you know, where I was just so intrigued by it and I kept coming back to it.
So, The Graduate, Pulp Fiction, My Cousin Vinny, Feel the Dreams. Mike, you're down to one. And this is one that I know for a fact you saved. You mentioned earlier, you saved this. If I asked you what's your all-time favorite movie, what's your answer?
My answer for all-time favorite movie, and this has been my answer, I would pretty much say since I saw this movie in the theaters when I was a sophomore in high school or in college, and it's pretty much been my answer ever since, is Almost Famous.
Oh, good choice.
I love that movie. So, I told Nikki a couple weeks ago, because we were able to sneak off and see the movie Blinded by the Light, you know, about the kid, you know, who the Pakistani kid who discovers Bruce Springsteen. And I told Nikki, I said, look, if my all-time favorite movie is any indication, I am a sucker for movies that are all about the power of music to be life-changing, because Almost Famous just puts together my two favorite things, you know, in pop culturally speaking, which is movies and music. The soundtrack to that movie is one of the best soundtracks ever put together, including the original music that they wrote, that Cameron Crowe wrote with his wife for Stillwater. I think, you know, captures that feeling of that era of rock and roll so well, I love the fact that it's partially based on his real life.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
It's so fantastic, but it's so cool that you get to experience that from not just an outsider's perspective, but a naive teenager's outsider's perspective. The way I always think about this movie, what I'll always remember about this movie is we were watching it one time, as a family. I don't even know how we decided we were going to watch it. I think this was my dad's first time seeing it, because he had seen it on a plane one time on a business trip, and he always said, oh yeah, I saw it on a plane. The sound was off, but I got the gist of it. And I was just like, Dad. In his defense, I'm pretty sure he was joking when he said that.
That's awesome. Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this was his first time watching it, you know, with the sound, which you kind of need since it's a movie about rock and roll.
Yes.
And I distinctly remember having this moment. I actually think I blogged about it. Remember blogs? But I remember having this moment at the end of that movie where I think we probably all had this movie where you get moment where you get so absorbed in a movie that you literally forget the world around you.
Yeah.
Credits roll. And it took a solid like 10 seconds. And all of a sudden I had this distinct feeling of drifting back to Earth. Like,
whoa.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just so absorbed and so wrapped up in everything that was going on. And it was like this transcendent moment for me. I always remember that for this movie, but I remember seeing it for the first time with my buddies, Jeff and Ben. And we were just all completely enthralled with that movie. Just loved it. You know, it was hard not to, you know, you fall a little bit in love with Kate Hudson's Penny Lane character, and you know, Russell's kind of a dick, but you kind of want to be him anyway.
Yep.
And there's so many scenes, there's so many lines in that movie that I quote all the time. I use "I am a golden god" constantly. I've probably used it on this podcast two or
you
three
have,
times.
You have, yes.
Yeah. I always say to begin with everything. If I ever write a book about music, that's going to be the title. Because that's what he answers at the very end when he finally gets his interview. He says, what do you love about music? And he goes, to begin with, everything. Love that. And number one, all time, this is never going to be topped. I wouldn't swear to it, but it's going to be really, really hard to ever top the tiny dancer scene in terms of scenes that express in so few words the absolute power of music than when they get on the bus and Tiny Dancer starts playing. They all hate each other. They're all miserable. And then like one guy starts singing along and then the rest of them start singing along. And by the end of it, they're all singing, you know, and he turns to her and he goes, "I have to go home." And she goes, "You are home." It's like, ah, God, love that. That movie's just magical to me. I love that.
It's a really, it is. It's a solid movie. It's not on my top five, but it's a really, really, it's Cameron Crowe's best film, and it's not even close.
Absolutely. And I love Jerry Maguire. I love Say Anything, but Almost Famous, Cameron Crowe's best film.
Yeah, and it's not even close. His other movies are fine, but Almost Famous is untouchable. It's top to bottom, a phenomenal movie. What I will always remember about that movie, and I'm not a music guy, but it's just so beautiful. It's a genuine, like, this guy has meshed music with the color palette, the wardrobes they had, the way every shot was set up. It props to the DP. That was an amazingly shot film. But then bringing together the script, it's almost like this insane algorithm that you just can't figure out. But for some reason, every part of that movie clicks so damn well.
Right, exactly.
And that just doesn't happen. All right, Mike. So that's whew. Almost Famous, My Cousin Vinny, Field of Dreams, Pulp Fiction. Which one did I forget?
And The Graduate.
The Graduate. That's a hell of a top five list, Mike.
Yeah, it's what, like I said, it's what I ultimately came to. I wrote down so many movies trying to come up with that list, and that's what I chose. I think that's a pretty good cross section of. Although I'll tell you a funny side note. I don't want to spoil things too much, you know, because I think Nikki's hoping to do hers at some point. But we were discussing our respective lists, and I have this reputation in our relationship. She loves movies with happy endings, and I love movies that have kind of downer or ambiguous endings.
Yeah.
But we realize her list has movies with downer endings on it, and mine does not.
Really?
So it's when you look back at my list, it really doesn't have any downer endings.
You're right. You're dead on balls accurate. Holy crap.
But as I've always said, I don't love downer endings. If I loved downer endings, I would think Pay It Forward was a phenomenal movie. I think Pay It Forward is a terrible movie because it doesn't earn its ending. Its ending comes out of nowhere and it's designed to rip the rug out from underneath you. I like movies that earn their ending. I like the appropriate ending to a movie.
All right, Mike. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope everyone out there had a good time listening and getting to know Mike a little bit better. We will be back on Sunday with a brand new episode of the Pub Trivia Experience. For the Pub Trivia Experience, I have been Chris.
I am Mike.
And we will see you all next time. Bye, everyone. And we're back, everybody. I know you thought that episode was over, but it is not. It is now Saturday night while the Rays are playing playoff baseball, and I get a text message from Mr. Mike Mott saying he needs to update and change his list. So before we jump into the updates, Mike, go ahead and give everyone a reminder of what your list looked like going into today.
Right. So my list, you know, I was talking to Nikki about this during dinner, actually, and I immediately had this moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I forgot about that movie. So I texted Chris right away and said, hey man, I need to modify my top five. my top five were Field of Dreams, Pulp Fiction, My Cousin Vinny, The Graduate, and Almost Famous.
Okay. And which movie are we bumping off?
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. You have a plan for this then. I don't. So by all means.
Yep. No, I just really, I could not believe that this movie slipped my mind. After everything that I've been through, I just cannot believe that I neglected to include Stanley Kubrick's Psycho in my top five movie list.
You are a dick. You got me sorry. Out of bed just to poke fun. Oh my god.
I'm sorry. I had to. We are going back to the old episode. Just to actually say it. I just thought, oh shit, how did I miss this opportunity?
Oh man. I was literally in bed getting ready to go to sleep, and I'm like, well, does now work? Yeah, sure.
Oh, fuck, dude. I was like, Nikki looks at me and she's like, wait, you're actually going to do this? And I was like,
oh, man, that's great. Oh, I hate you. I hate you, but that's great.
I'm a total dick, but I got to do it.
Oh, my God.
He's either going to think it's funny or hate me forever. But...
Oh man, I was kind of thinking we'd gotten past that, but I guess not.
I think that was the problem is that we had, and I felt like I really needed to bring it back into the,
and then you
rotation.
Like, you said Stanley Kubrick, and I'm like, okay, Space Odyssey. You don't really strike me as a Clockwork Orange fan. Freaking Psycho.
Yep. All right, I'm sorry.
No, you have to apologize. That was funny as hell. Oh my god. Oh my god.
It. Had to do it.
No, I earned it. I had that coming.
Yeah, you know what?
Damn.
It's been long enough. I feel like I really should let it go. But...
No. This is an ongoing bit.
Yeah, I feel like I want this to be one of those things that we talk about 50 years from now. When we're old men doing whatever old men do, shuffleboard or something.
Shuffleboard doesn't sound fun.
No, it really doesn't.
Smoking cigars and playing cards.
You know, it's actually really funny you bring up smoking cigars because I was like, damn, I could go for a cigar tonight. I don't know why I've been in the mood for a cigar. I haven't smoked one in a long time.
Oh, we had Four Roses Small Batch Select last night.
Yeah.
And we're drinking it while we're doing Disney trivia, and all I could think about was a cigar would taste really good right now.
Yep, exactly. That, and I think that's what it was, because I was drinking some scotch last night, and I was just like, man.
Lafraig?
No, it was just a Glenlivet 12. Nothing fancy. I'm still going through my dad's old scotches, and I've been going through the trying to eliminate some of the bottles that are mostly empty.
Okay.
First, so just to kind of free up some space in that cabinet
for more bottles.
More bottles. That's right.
Man, damn you, Mike! Damn you to hell! Oh man,
I deserve that.
Pitch perfect. Pitch freaking perfect. I had no idea that's where this was going.
No, I figured you didn't. I was like, he's either going to hate me or he's going to think it's funny. So I was fingers crossed you thought it was funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, man. I really hope everyone out there got a kick out of that, because I really did. That hit me out of left
field. Yeah, it's a little Easter egg for long time listeners of the podcast. I mean, it was really a you and me thing, but I was like, yeah, long time listeners of the podcast, hopefully we'll get a kick out of this too.
That goes all the way back to what is it, episode 2 or episode 3?
I think it was episode 2, yeah.
My God.
Yep. Good times.
Oh, man. That was a good pull. That was a good pull.
Yeah. No, honestly, that was really credit Nikki for that one, because she was the one that was going back through the old pot. So I don't want to call her out on this, but she, and I think it was partially because I guess she said she couldn't find it on the podcast app that she uses. But she goes, yeah, I've never listened to the podcast. I feel bad. And I was like, well, we were driving up to Tennessee today, and she and I go, well, let's pull up some of the, you know, some of the recent episodes, and you can listen to a couple. So we were listening to a couple, and she was scrolling back through the old ones, and somehow that came up, and I was just like, oh man, that was a huge missed opportunity.
That's hilarious.
And I was just like, screw it, I'll text them and see if they're, you know, see if we can somehow tack it on. I don't know.
Oh god. I have no words.
No, I just make your editing life a little harder. So
no, I'm not editing this. I'm just going to leave it the exact way we just said it and throw it at the end. So this is going to be air with the bonus episode this coming Wednesday, we've got like an interview with the owners of Antelope Brew that we're gonna air the episode that we recorded at Antelope. We're gonna air on Sunday. We'll throw that up on Sunday. Wednesday, we've got an interview episode with them, followed by your five favorite movies and one favorite dig.
That's perfect. Yeah.
And then what I'd like to do is I want to get 6 or 7 episodes of Recast That Movie in the can before we actually launch that on podcast.
Yeah,
apps.
For sure.
I want to be able to drop 2 or 3 at once, and then I want to just be able to drop 1 a week or something like that after that.
Yep. No, I agree.
That one's actually pretty easy to just kind of put together because there's not a whole lot of organization. It only requires a couple of people. It doesn't require 5 or 6. So
right, and no one's got to write a game or do anything like that.
Exactly. So. It's just sit down, have a drink, and talk.
Yeah, but yeah. So Nikki was quizzing me today. We spent probably about the first hour after Abby went down. She was throwing me a bunch of random trivia questions that she found online. So
okay. How'd you do?
Okay. Like most of the ones I struggled with were not pop culture questions. A lot of stop me if you've heard this one before. Geography questions and things of that nature. She was actually started to do it before Abby was falling asleep, and I started singing "Eye of the Tiger" and dancing around the kitchen and throwing punches. God. And Nikki was like, "Yeah, actually, on second thought, I'm going to wait until Abby goes to sleep because she doesn't need to see this."
No.
Yeah, and she was absolutely right, as my wife is wont to be. So,
did Vanderbilt play today?
The last I saw, they were down 24-6, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to put on the Rays game because
who are they losing to?
Ole Miss. Yeah, it's not a pretty season for the Commodores, but you know, whatever.
Might be time to lose that coach.
Derek Mason, yeah. I mean, I like Mason okay, but he's always going to keep us right around that 6-6 level. And last year was one of those years we actually had some pretty good talent, and I felt like we should have probably done better than we did.
That's right. I think we're finally turning a corner in Tallahassee. I feel like it's, we should have beaten like Louisiana Monroe. We should have beaten Boise State too, for God's sake. We had a big lead. But we finally played a game where it was the offense and defense played a full game, solid game against NC State. But now it's like we're going to follow that up, and we have a bye week. Then we go to Clemson. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah, I know. Lovely.
Okay, so this is a 40-point loss.
Right, exactly.
I hope they
you
go
never
easy
know.
On us.
UNC almost beat them. I think Clemson's not as strong of a team as they might have been last year. So
I think that's a crock.
You think that was a blip on the radar, but they're still.
I think UNC had a bad game against App State and then came out and gave Clemson the fight of their lives.
And it's entirely possible that they were so keyed up for the Clemson game that that's why they lost to App State. I think that's part of it, but.
I don't know. I don't think teams are ever as good or as bad as they look on TV. So.
I think that's probably true, but.
I think Clemson has gotten to the point where FSU was in the 90s and early 2000s, where it's like, okay, you know, this is the team that runs this division. Every team you play is going to give you the best shot they have.
Right. And that's a fair point.
Sadly, we're not there anymore. I miss those days.
No. Hey, you were there at one point.
Yeah. 14 straight years we were there.
Yep. It's better to have won and lost than never to have won at all.
Yeah, but it sucks when you lose.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe on that one.
Yeah. do I sound any different on this microphone, by the way? Does this sound any different to you?
Not that I notice.
Okay, good. Changing things up a little bit. So.
Okay.
All right, man, I'm going back to watch the Rays game. Is it still 0-0?
It is actually 1-0 now. The Astros scored. I didn't see how. I had to move into the other room for a second because that's where my computer was. But
hold on. Jeff Gordon sent me something on Twitter.
Still early. Plenty of time.
Oh, have you seen the Glenn Livett? Is it Glenn LeVay? Glenn Livett? How do you say that?
Glenn Livett.
Glenn Livett capsule collection?
I don't think so.
They're taking some of their scotch, and they have it in capsules. They look like Tide Pods, but the wrapping of it is actually...
It's not scotch. It's a Tide ad.
No, it's scotch. But they're scotch in, and it's actually the Tide, the quote unquote Tide Pod is like an edible seaweed.
Okay.
And so you get to take the whole thing the way it is. So it's like eating a Tide Pod, but with scotch.
Okay.
It sounds disgusting.
It sounds.
But I'd still buy it if I could.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that feels like you got to try it once, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to. There have been like three or four bottles of bourbon I've been trying to track down. I've had no luck doing it.
Yeah. I've kind of decided at this point right now, I still have so much scotch to work through that I can go a little ways without having to buy a new bottle of whiskey.
No, you'll be good for a while.
Yep.
I was just never was a huge scotch fan. I still have your bottle of Lafraig. It's 3/4 gone now.
Yeah, I mean, the Lafraig is one of the best.
I'll sip it. But yeah, like, I could pour bourbon in a glass and just drink that with ice, and I'll be good with that for a while. But scotch, I never could do that with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like all kinds, really. But yeah, scotch has always been kind of my main jam. I don't really know why.
Well, it was your dad's drink, too, right?
Yeah, I guess that's probably why. But he was kind of like me. He liked everything.
Oh, okay.
But I mostly saw him drink scotch, so that's probably why.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm going to go watch the rest of the Rays game. You are a dick.
Yep.
But that is absolutely hilarious. Charged.
Go Rays. Thank you for putting up with me being a dick. I'm glad you appreciated it and didn't decide that you were just going to cut me out of your life for,
oh my God.
For my terrible joke.
No, that was awesome. That was perfect. All right. Go Rays, everybody.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See you later, bud. Bye.